This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, originating from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge. And your number is 877-217-5757. Emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. Renee Martin and Robin Dow producing. And in just a bit, we'll spend some time with one of the real movers and shakers in Baton Rouge for the last 52 years, Collis Benton Temple. But we start with a person of national import who is here with an important viewpoint regarding Victoria's Voice Foundation. And this organization was founded by a family affected by overdose. And of course, in this country right now, the largest number of deaths in the United States for the last few years has been from opioid overdoses. It is a story that isn't getting its just due. We spend much of our time in this community discussing homicides, and we've got certainly a lot of work to do in that area, but there are far more incidents of people dying of opioid abuse than there are of people being killed with guns. But we've got two fronts, and one of them gets far more attention than the other. And come next Wednesday, there will be an event at Louisiana Blue Cross, now Louisiana Blue, 5525 Wrights Avenue, 6 to 8 p.m. That's a week from tomorrow. Actually, a week from today. This is Wednesday, Renee says. And I think I got it. It's the middle of the week. And it is an important thing that our community is involved in. And Jackie Siegel is here, and Jackie is the founder of this group. And good morning to you, Jackie.
Hey, good morning, Jim. And I'm so happy to be on your show today.
Well, tell us about your odyssey as far as how this has impacted you, your personal story, and why you and your husband established Victoria's Voice Foundation.
Well, and what you were saying earlier about the opioid, the people dying from the opioids, I mean, it's crazy. It's like a pandemic, and this is a totally preventable death. You know, it's something we can do something about. And the reason I've devoted the rest of my life to saving people's lives from the opioid epidemic is because my husband and I, well, some people don't know who Jackie Siegel is, but they might recall the name the Queen of Versailles, because there's a Broadway show coming out and we're TV personalities and all that. So our 18-year-old daughter died of the drug overdose, and it just like kind of ripped the red carpet from under our feet. And the pain was just so immense that had we known about the opioids and the kids doing drugs or loved ones doing drugs, we would have, our eyes would have been open, I feel, about saving our own daughter's life. So what we did is turn our pain into purpose to prevent other families from suffering the pain while their child or loved ones are still alive, to educate them and let them know about, like nowadays, everything is laced with, you have to assume anything on the street is going to be laced with fentanyl. Because even if they're, like one pill can kill, if these people are thinking they're getting a Percocet on the street, the drug dealers have pill presses to make the drugs look like a prescription drug, and they're not, or they're lacing the marijuana. And it's really a terrible thing. And also what we've done with our foundation is get the naloxone awareness, and we also got the government to fund naloxone, and it's now available over the counter. People no longer need a prescription. And naloxone is really a Lazarus drug. Like, it brings people back to life once they've overdosed, and you spray it in their nose, and it gives you time to, it blocks the opioids, the receptors in the brain from getting the drug, it gives you a time to get to the hospital and seek immediate attention.
All right, cool. You're covering a lot of ground, and I appreciate it. And if listeners would like to chime in, and I know this is a difficult topic, but if you have a personal experience, we welcome your input at 877-217-5757. In the year of 2022, nearly 108,000 people in the U.S. died from drug overdoses. And opioids accounted for 82,000, up from 50,000 in 2019. So this is something that's been going up, up, and away. And Jackie, as you know, this involves young people, old people. It involves people at the lower end of the economic strata and at the higher ends. And it involves men and women of all races. It is not something that is segregated to a particular segment of the community or any community. So how do you combat this? And what are some of the successes your group has had since it was founded?
Well, and like you said, as this opioid epidemic has no boundaries, age, race, religion, nothing. That's why when I refer to saving not just our children, but to save our loved ones, someone that we all care about. So the way I'm combating it is through the education to bring the awareness out. And through our daughter Victoria passed away at 18 years old, she left behind a diary that she put in there that she wanted us to publish in the event of her death, because she knew she was playing basically Russian roulette, that there's a chance with her achieving whatever high she was looking for that she might not make it. And so we published her diary. And what I want this diary to do, the whole purpose of it is, well, when she wrote it, she didn't know what drugs was. And then it goes through the process of a teenage life until she passed away from the drugs. Because teenagers, it's very difficult in their lives about dealing with that they're not good enough, they're the stress from school, the bullying, all that. And a lot of them are the peer pressure. And a lot of these kids, they do turn to drugs to either fit in or self-medicate. And so I want parents who think that their child would never be tempted to do drugs or exposed, that this could open up their eyes to think, well, maybe I should be getting my child drug tested, or have a sit-down talk and educate them about what's really going on out there. You know, I really want to open up people's eyes. And I also want people to know about the naloxone. I gave, at all of my charity functions, I give out naloxone. And this one guy, he says, oh, I don't have kids, I don't have to worry about it. But it was in the gift bag. He took the naloxone, he threw it in his glove compartment, okay, in his car, forgot about it. He went to a barbecue in his neighborhood. At that barbecue, there were some teenagers, and someone overdosed, one of the teenagers. And he says, you know what? I have that naloxone in my glove compartment. He ran out, got the naloxone, and administered it and saved that teenager's life. And it's like things like that really, you know, it's kind of like one at a time. But we have speakers going around the country, and we've reached three schools a day. And we've just reached our, 1 millionth child in middle and high school. So we celebrated that up in Tennessee a couple of months ago. So that was really exciting.
And how long was your daughter involved with opioids, or do you know?
I know from her diary, she started in middle school. It started with, vaping, marijuana. And it just led kind of to, it just progressed. Then it was Xanax. And it was kind of like a little bit of everything, and the heroin. And, but these kids, and she did it all behind our back. My husband is a billionaire, Westgate Resorts, very successful man. And this happened right under our noses. And that's why I want parents to understand, even if your child goes and buys a vaping pen, or it looks like an e-cigarette, which that's what it is, but secondhand, what they're getting in the schools, they refill them and they're putting like synthetic things in there, poison to the body. And I have my hairdresser, she had one 15-year-old son. He wanted to do a smoke marijuana, okay? But he got a one of these e-cigarettes from his drug dealer, from a kid at school. I mean, drug dealers are just, they're peers. But it was filled with synthetic.
We'll be back and spend a few more minutes with Jackie Siegel of Victoria's Voice, and then it's Collis Temple on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana. And our guest for a few more moments is Jackie Siegel, the founder of Victoria's Voice. She lost her daughter, 18 years old, to an opioid overdose, and over 100,000 people in this country are dying each year with opioid and other drug-related overdoses. And Jackie will be in our community next Wednesday night, the 16th, at the Blue Cross headquarters, Louisiana Blue, on Wright's Drive. And the host and MC is Fred Stokes, NFL champion, former Saints defensive end. And the panelists include the chief of police, Thomas Morris, the mayor-president, Sharon Weston Broom, as well as Bo Clark, the coroner, Marilyn McCulley, a mother who lost a child to fentanyl poisoning, and Candace Cowart, the manager of special investigations for Louisiana Blue. And let's take a call or two, Renee and Robin. Patricia in Magnolia Woods has been waiting for a little while. Patricia, you're on Talk Louisiana with Jackie Siegel. Hello, Patricia.
Good morning. I'm so sorry for your loss and glad that you're doing this work. I was wondering what the status of distribution of fentanyl test strips and the use of buprenorphine to treat opioid addiction. Thanks.
Okay. The fentanyl test strips, there's several companies out there. I'm not exactly sure about the distribution of those, but because my whole focus, well, actually, this is a new avenue for me, and thank you for bringing this up. This is something which will be a new branch about with our foundation now, that because we've been focused on the naloxone and getting people to the hospital. And I do realize that people with the addiction, we try as much to stop them from doing the drugs. And the next step for us is to bring the awareness about these strips to test the drugs. Because if they're going to do it behind our backs, at least we want them to know they're not getting the fentanyl that's going to kill them, you know, especially like they're bringing in the car fentanyl into the situation. I wish I had a better answer for you, but this is a new avenue that our foundation needs to take.
Well, this is called the Save Our Kids Vital Signs Family Forum. It's next Wednesday, 6 p.m., 8 p.m. at Louisiana Blue, 5525 Wrights Avenue. And registration is required. And the place to go is Save Our Kids Vital Signs, Save Our Kids Vital Signs Baton Rouge to register. And as mentioned, more people by far are dying of opioid overdoses than car wrecks, homicides, you name it. This is a story that is undertold, and much can be learned by going to this forum. And thank you for sharing your story today, Jackie, and I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you so much, and I'm so excited about bringing the community together for all the concerned parents.
Very good.
I really, really appreciate this. Thank you.
Thank you. We're joined now in studio by Collis Benton Temple. His ears were burning yesterday when Ralph McCollister was on the show, and we'll get to the feud, if you will, between Collis and Ralph, who have been good buddies through the years, but now are on opposite sides of the administration of BRAC. And Rolf had said Collis was with Breck since 1988. Actually, it's 1980, 44 years. He's also on the LSU board, where Rolf presided under two different administrations. And by the way, his appearance yesterday sparked some interest in the community from people at very high levels. And one of them, who would know, says that Rolf recommended Collis III to be on the Board of Regents with Governor Jindal. And so he says that Collis and Rolf should patch things up and not be at war with one another. And this is a person at a very high level.
Yeah.
You're smiling.
I'm smiling because, you know, I'm always excited to come and share with you and be a part of your program. Rolf and I have been close friends and allies for probably since the late 70s, early 80s. We both are very interested in the quality of life in the greater Baton Rouge area. I'm from a small town of Kentwood, and I came here 52 years ago to perform on the basketball court, but I ended up taking up Homestead here in Baton Rouge. And of course, Rolf, he's been in Baton Rouge about 70 years, I think. So
he'll be 70 next year. Let's not give him too much credit.
Yeah, but we both have a very keen interest in the success of everything about the Baton Rouge, greater Baton Rouge area. And I know Rolf is for the recreation and park system because he knows that it's an important component of the quality of life as it relates to Baton Rouge and how things move in a positive way. So recreationally, educationally, Rolf has always been a fighter of improving the quality of life in the recreation park system as well as the education system. We have a difference of opinion. I have my opinion. He has his opinion. And the way we get to the success is my opinion, is my opinion, and his is his. So we don't always come to the same path, but we end up both, you know, working towards a quality of life for everyone in Baton Rouge.
Well, and he is a white Republican, and you are a black Democrat. And in the mayor's race, that is on display with, as we saw today, when it comes to money, Ted James has raised over $1 million. Sharon Weston Broom, the incumbent's at $611,000. And Coach Sid Edwards is a distant third, $57,000. If Rolf had run, he probably would be right there with the mayor and Representative James. But I know you were on the mayor's reelection quest. You want her to get a third term, and you're not alone, certainly. And she, until further notice, is the favorite. But Ted James has raised more. And I went into Louie's this morning. I couldn't believe my eyes. I saw Collis Temple and Ted James hugging each other. What's this all about?
Yeah, well, I've known Ted since he was a kid. And Ted and my sons are very close friends. Ted and my daughter-in-laws are very close friends. And just like Rolf and I, we have a right to an opinion. In my estimation, I think that Sharon Broom, by osmosis, for the last 8 to 10 years, I think that Sharon Broom has garnered a lot of appreciation and understanding about the workings of the city parish government. And so I think that it would be healthy for us to try to continue down that path because she has a high quality of experience. That doesn't mean that Ted is not capable. That just means that I think Sharon is a person with a wealth of experience and can move the parish forward. We're in a very critical stage in East Baton Rouge Parish. I mean, we have an entity called St. George that has been basically put in place, and that entity, we have to work with that entity, and we have to make sure that things move in a quality manner, and so that marriage has to be healthy for the good of the parish. And so I think Sharon's experience brings about a place where we can make that marriage effective between St. George and the core Baton Rouge community.
And a listener says, what do you think of the coach, Sid Edwards?
I think Coach Edwards is an outstanding high school football coach, and I think he needs to continue to be an outstanding high school football coach at the Ostrowma High School, home of Billy Cannon.
Billy Cannon, Smiley Anders, Bill Huey, a few others. Sure. Many others went to Ostrowma. Sure. Old line high school. Woody Jenkins. Let's not forget Lewis Elwood, Woody Jenkins. Bob Courtney. All of them went to Ostrowma High
School. All of these gentlemen went to Ostrowma. Yeah. Some of them probably wanted to go to Baton Rouge High. I'm sure some of them wanted to go to Catholic High. But they had the good fortune of playing and being a participant in the great Indian tradition.
All right. Dan downtown. Dan, good morning.
Good morning. Is it at least somewhat worrisome just who are some of Ted James's backers, like Governor Landry and other right-wing Republican culture warriors?
I don't know if Governor Landry is supporting Ted James. I mean, maybe he is, but I think that you know, $1.1 million plus dollars is quite a bit of money to put into a mayor's race, and Sharon Broome is about halfway, a little more than halfway there.
We'll talk more with Collis after this. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, and we are 27 days away from an election, November 5th, and it's a busy ballot, and not only a congressional race, a mayor's race, a constitutional amendment, a change in the way the city does business, all of that's on the ballot. But there will be a BREC tax, too, and Collis Temple is here to talk about that as a BREC board member. And Collis, of course, is an LSU board member, and whatever's on your mind, Collis is always at the ready. I got a scolding email from Elizabeth Dent saying, "We need to talk about Breck, and you need to ask tough questions." And Elizabeth is a worthy adversary. I remember years ago at one of those mayor's debates when her husband was running against Mayor Holden. They were the only two who showed up. And Elizabeth actually said in front of the crowd, "You don't send a boy to do a man's job." And she couldn't understand why Kip Holden was upset about that.
Yeah, well, Kip was about 40 years old when that was said. And I don't think Elizabeth meant anything bad about that, but she misspoke. She's a wonderful lady. She's taking up the tax busters fight that Fred had running, and of course Fred never saw any tax that he liked or appreciated or wanted to see pass. Unfortunately, Rolf is taking on that fight also right now.
Well, what about the BREC tax? He's against it. You're for it. Why do we need it?
Well, we need the BREC tax because it's not a new tax. It's literally a renewal of the taxes that have already and always been put on the books. We have 1,000 or so Recreation Parks employees. We have 5 venues around East Baton Rouge. We have the city of Baker, the city of Zachary, the city of Central, the city of St. George, and the core city of Baton Rouge. We need to make sure that everything is on the same page and that we have an efficient recreation park system and not break it up and divide it. This BREC tax is the glue to making sure that we keep the recreation park system intact and have one system. You know that because of some of these kinds of shenanigans that took place in the past, we now have a divided public school system that's suffering. We have a divided parish that will suffer, that has suffered, and will suffer going forward. We don't need a divided BREC. We need to have one solid, holistic recreation park system. It's been efficient. It's done some wonderful things, and it's going to continue to do some wonderful things.
877-217-5757. Now, Rolf says we've got too many parks, that we have a lot more than other cities, but we should streamline it, and some of these facilities are in poor condition. Your response?
We have 175 recreation parks venues. Some people will say we have too much land, BREC has too many parks, it's too separated and diced up. There are pocket parks in certain areas that fulfill the opportunities for children and for families to participate. Everybody can't get to a big park. There's not an easy travel source. There are people and families who can't afford to go across town to the big parks. So we need to have the quality of life in every community that we have. Up in the area north of Baton Rouge, some people complain that we don't have enough parks north of Central, which is in an area, Cheneyville and Pride. That's kind of a sparsely populated area, but we need parks nevertheless in all of those areas, as well as in the inner city.
Well, what can we do to spruce some of these places up?
Make sure that the tax gets passed, that we...
Will that do it?
If the tax is passed, it will do it. It will give us an opportunity to make some capital improvements in some areas that have not been kept up with. And so it's a win-win for everybody.
877-217-5757 for Collis Benton Temple, Jr. Rebel in Sherwood. Rebel, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi, thank you, Jim, and thank you, Mr. Temple. Mr. Temple, I have two thoughts I'd like you to comment on.
All right.
First of all, it seems to me that Ted James is simply bought and paid for by Republicans who want to further divide the community. And secondly, Rolf McAllister sounds like another rich Republican who wants to defund and privatize public parks the same way that they've defunded and privatized public education so that a handful of rich guys can profit on taxpayer money while undermining public jobs and public unions.
All right. Well, Rebel, I think both of those are at the very least exaggerations, but you are a worthy adversary. We like it when you call the show. And Collis, of course, he's expecting some zingers. He's smiling at Rebel and Sherwood.
I would not like to think that as fine a young man as Ted James is, and he is an outstanding, he's a great lawyer, he's been a political guy for some time. He's a bright guy. I'm hoping that Ted is not being bought off by a group of guys who want to control him. I don't think that Ted would go down that path. I think he's just a young man who's ambitious about wanting to be the mayor of our city at this point. And as it relates to the second part of your comment, I don't know that Rolf McAllister is rich. He may be, but I'm not sure.
Is he as rich as you, Collis?
That's debatable. I don't think Rolf nor I don't think that either one of us are rich. I think that the chicken cooking fella that's at about $9.5 billion, he may be considered rich.
He's crazy. He's crazy rich, but you and Rolf are rich.
Yeah, but that $9.5 billion guy, he's a super champion for the recreation park system. He loves the park system.
But they're about to take his Raising Cane's River Center away from him for an arena at LSU that's quite secretive. Why hasn't the board made sure that this gets out to public purview?
I can't comment on anything that is secretive in terms of the LSU facility that's in the process of being developed. I will say this: we have a tremendous string of pearls and an opportunity to make sure that string of pearls are effective. Number one, the LSU facility that's being developed is going to be a grand venue. The River Center downtown that's going to be repurposed will be a grand venue. And at Memorial Stadium, where we will...
We're thinking too small, though, aren't we? We got this $9.6 billion person in Todd Graves. Why don't we go for a Major League Baseball team in Baton Rouge and build a real big arena downtown that could attract thousands 81 nights a year?
That's a wonderful thought. But you have to start somewhere, and at Goldsby Field, at Memorial Stadium and Goldsby Field, we're in the process of developing a venue where we can at least have a minor league team that's a reputable venue. So those are the kind of things that we're working on, and Breck is a major part of this process.
Pat and Shenandoah. Pat, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
So last year there was a big push on Facebook for the art in the parks, and so we went on a hunt for that park. Finally found it. No, nothing that said this is where it was. Parking was underneath the overpass, or underneath the interstate, with big potholes, no sign saying this is where it was. The first park we went to was on the other side of the interstate. This is like North Baton Rouge, full of trash, debris, beer cans. So my question is, if we're going to put a big push on for all of our parks, how on earth are you going to keep them up? Because we're not keeping them up right now.
Well, we're in the process, again, of continuing to improve the quality of the facilities. We have some major parks on the drawing board that are about to be put in place. One is out on Airline where the fairground is, and one clearly is this facility that we're developing down at Memorial Stadium. The smaller facilities are also being enhanced as time goes along, and that's why this is so significantly important that we make sure that this tax renewal is done. Because if we don't get this tax renewal passed, then we'll be even shorter on resources and opportunity to enhance our recreation park system.
All right, Mike in Villa Del Rey. Mike, you're on with Collins.
Yes. I can't remember ever voting against a renewal for fire, library, buses, parks. Mr. McAllister yesterday made some very valid arguments on why not to vote for this renewal. And the one that sticks out in my mind is that person working for the park that's making $200K a year and he's got a side hustle. I'm voting no.
All right. He's talking about Corey Wilson, who practices law in addition to running Breck. Should he be running Breck exclusively?
I think that Corey is running Breck exclusively.
Well, but he's a lawyer, too, and he advertises as such.
Yeah, he's a lawyer because he finished high school in New Orleans. He went to Morehouse College. He graduated from Morehouse College, and then he went to Harvard Law School.
Well, he's a brilliant guy, but he has a full-time job, doesn't he? Running Breck, he shouldn't be practicing law on the side, should he?
I don't have any record or recollection of him.
Well, he's advertising.
He does.
Yes,
I haven't seen him.
Yeah, but you think he's doing a good job at Breck?
I think he's doing a fabulous job at Breck, and he has shown and proven over his 5.5 years of being the director of the recreation park system. We've gotten a gold medal award, which is something that we hadn't gotten in over 30 years because of his directorship and leadership. And there are a number of other accolades
about the audit that Ralph referenced?
The audit that Ralph referenced, and I don't know the particulars of what Ralph said about the audit, but the audit was concluded and there were no issues or no concerns about the conclusion of the audit. The audit was the audit was done during a time that COVID was heavily involved.
Okay, we'll pick up with that when we return with Collins. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, and we have our lightning round with Collins Temple as we round the corner and head for home in the final quarter hour, so please be brief in your remarks, 877-217-5757. You were talking about the audit, which it took a few years to complete. And Ralph McAllister said it should have been completed 3 years before it was. But you're saying, if I heard you right, Collis Temple, that the audit concluded that things were on the up and up. But you were in the middle of your response when we went to the break. I wanted you to have the opportunity to complete your thoughts.
Well, the Recreation Parks audit was complete during the time that Ralph had the most concern about. And everything came out in a positive direction. We're in the process of completing our 2023 audit now, which will be concluded, and I don't think that there'll be any problems. The great thing about the recreation park system, one of the great things about its history, is if you look at it closely, we've never had any kind of scandal. We've never had any kind of question about people being paid under the table, over the table, around the table. It's been a clean-run organization. This young man, Corey Wilson, who's currently the head of the organization, as far as I can recall, Gene Young, Mr. Young didn't make several hundred thousand dollars. But all of the other two or three people who have come behind, who came before Corey, all of them made over $200,000 a year to be the recreation parks director. There's nothing wrong with having a quality guy.
And you're on the LSU board, so you know, like at the athletic department, if we were to count the people making over $200,000 a year, it would probably be 50 people in the athletic department.
Probably between 50 and 100 people.
Making over $200,000 a
year. Absolutely, absolutely. So this gentleman, he directs 1,000 employees. Mm-hmm. If you look at any executive in the open market, you'll find that those folk have to have a livable wage.
But that's a lot of money in Baton Rouge.
That's a lot of money in Baton Rouge, but it's not a lot of money compared to executives in major operations.
Right. And Carlos Temple is here and ready to take your calls. If you'd like to get under the wire at 877-217-5757. And Carlos, as we know, is a tall gentleman. He was talking about the table. He's across the table from me, but I'm looking. His foot is right next to my chair, so if I asked him the wrong question,
I could be in a world of hurt.
It's almost in my lap.
I'll either kick you or I'll punch you in the mouth.
And that's a big foot, too.
Big foot, and I got a big fist. So you can get a fist in the mouth or a kick under the chair.
Well, we're not talking about Vanderbilt 1971, but...
Call Jan Van Bredekoff and he'll tell you about my foot. You kicked him in the kidney. Well, I was just following Dale Brown in his path to victory to knock off Vanderbilt.
Okay. Patrick in Ennis-Walda States. Patrick, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, I noticed this back in April. I tried to go to the news with it. Hey, the BRAC hasn't done an audit in almost 3 years. 2 years for sure. Almost 3 years in June. Nobody cared. I mean, no one cared. I even went to you, Jim. And I wonder how many other, these crime prevention districts, I wonder how many people are getting a free ride on our property taxes. I think this is just the tip of the iceberg.
All right. We have these taxes that go for different things, and one of them is our park system. And a park system is more than recreation, as Collis noted. If we want to improve our community, we've got to have our kids involved in productive endeavors, and I would think being out in the outdoors and nice places and commiserating with people would be good, and doing athletic things in a city with high obesity. But Patrick says this audit, the people don't really care about it, even though he sounds like he does care about it. What do you think, Collis?
I'm glad Patrick is concerned about it. I just hope he looks at the historical significance of how these taxes come about and what really takes place. So in 1946, there was a mandate put in place for a millage to be passed for the recreation park system. Then the taxes were changed in 1954 to increase the millage. And somewhere, for the next 10 to 20 years, the millages continued to be put in place. The recreation park system continued to enhance. We purchased property, and traditionally, the tax renewal has passed, and so we're at a place now where it has to be renewed. It's not a new tax, but it's a tax that should be renewed, and it will impact on 65% of the revenue that's generated by the recreation park system. Mm-hmm. It's a simple process. It started in 1946. We're just rolling it forward every 10 years to make sure that the improvements for maintenance and the general operation budget is intact and efficient.
Here's Holly in the Garden District asking if a lady who's a real champion in this community and in that particular area for keeping the golf course, Lily Petit Gallagher, our friend, is telling Corey Wilson what to do. Does he take his orders from Lily Petit Gallagher?
He doesn't take his orders from Lily Petit Gallagher. Miss Gallagher is a true champion of City Park, a true champion of City Park. Unlike Ralph McCollister, who's a nice guy, a good friend, Ralph wants to close down the golf course. Miss Gallagher knows the importance of that golf course. It was built in 1928 by a guy named Tom Bendelow. It was the first golf course in Baton Rouge. It has tremendous historical significance. Everybody loves that golf course, and it's really going to be enhanced now because of the lake development, that all of the improvements that are moving around. Of course, we have the children's museum there, and everything is being enhanced at City Park. And Miss Gallagher lives across the street. She loves it. She keeps up with everything, and we're glad she's a supporter.
She's a passionate person. We love Lily Petite Gallagher.
Correct.
But a listener says, well, you know, it's just some modest sprucing up. This is Tom on, like a coffee shop. Would a coffee shop work at City Park?
I'm hoping that one day we can have a coffee shop, put it City Park, and maybe we can call it the Lily Pad. I think it would be great because she's a wonderful lady, and we need to do something in her honor. I think the Lily Pad Coffee Shop would be tremendous.
All right, Randy and Zachary. Randy, you're on with Collis. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Collis. My question to you is, as we're voting for this tax, can you assure us that there is a fair and balanced process to hiring people inside of the parish as opposed to those who live outside of the parish to work for BREC?
Yeah, I, on a personal basis, I think that it's important that we try to have people working for the Recreation Park System who live in Baton Rouge, just as I think that, you know, when I see city police officer cars going to Hammond and Tangipahoa Parish and going to Livingston and going to Ascension, I think that's unfortunate, but you can't really mandate and dictate where people live who work in Baton Rouge. So hopefully we can do something to encourage people to live in Baton Rouge since they work in Baton Rouge, but we can't control and put a mandate in place and say, if you work at Recreation Parks in Zachary, you ought to live in Zachary. That would be basically un-American, maybe.
All right. What about bringing Mike the Tiger to the games? You like that idea? The governor wants it. He's going to be with us tomorrow, by the way, Governor Jeff Landry, and he says he'll talk about this. So what do you think?
I don't have a problem with bringing Mike the Tiger to the LSU football game. When I was a freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior at LSU, the Tiger was rolled in a cage, and it got by the opposing team's locker room, and the cage was rattled, and then someone would put a microphone, and the Tiger would growl. Maybe it intimidated the people, maybe it didn't. I think that the key to intimidating the other team is what the guys on the team do.
All right, okay. Well, Mike was a force of nature, and the first one lived to be 20 years old and had a cage that he lived in that was smaller than our studio, and he did just fine. So I don't think, and he went to all the games too. Do you know a guy named Reb Beatty? Reb Beatty. He says after my father retired from the Army, we settled in Kentwood. School integration happened when I was beginning the seventh grade. I was bused many miles away to the other school. Mr. C.B. Temple was the principal, and Mrs. Temple was the school secretary. I'm sure it was a culture shock for everyone involved. I stayed at Kentwood Middle High School, previously titled Dillon High, till I graduated. I'd always enjoyed speaking with Mr. and Mrs. Temple. After graduation from SLU, my fiancé and I set a date for our marriage in 1980. The Temples had impressed me so many levels that my fiancé and I sent them a formal invitation to our wedding. Please keep in mind that this was almost 45 years ago. Kentwood was a small town which held tightly to its centuries-long segregation practices. Blacks ate in totally different restaurants than whites, went to different waiting rooms at the doctor's office, and blacks were only allowed to sit separately from whites in a balcony at a movie theater. When word got out that my fiancé and I had invited a non-white couple to our wedding, some of the townspeople's tempers flared. One night at about 2 a.m., my dad woke up, my mother and I had a cross burning in our property right at the end of the yard. I guess I'll never really know if Mr. and Mrs. Temple were aware of this and the threat to my family. However, a couple of days after the event, I received an official telegram-type message from the Temples thanking my fiancé and I for the invitation, but respectfully explaining that they would not be able to attend the ceremony. He says, I apologize for rambling on about what happened a half century ago in Kentwood, but he wanted you to know that you come from good stock.
I need to know who this guy is, where he lives, and I want to take he and his fiancé, his wife now, to Ruth Chris right away. I need to know who this guy is. I need you to track him down for me.
Well,
Thank you.
Let's bring you back. It's time to go. But thanks, Collis. Thanks for listening. Back tomorrow with the governor. Stay safe. Stay tuned.